Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We head to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He is a friend of mine. He is, I don't even know where to start, Matt. You're the host of the Locked On Lions podcast. You're the host of the Wired Pistons podcast, which in my opinion is one of the finest NBA podcasts there are. And you're one half of the Dairy Brothers Indians-based podcast. And you're also quite the Indians fan. I can feel the angst from across Lake Erie right now as far as the Indian season is going. How are you?
What's up, Jake? Well, that's some introduction, buddy.
I'm wound up, dude. This is hour four of...
You are.
Hour four of four.
Good for you, man. No, all is well, sir. It's gearing up for this afternoon and right back to the grind of watching this baseball team at 4 o'clock. There's a part of me that thinks today they're going to go into Fenway and stun all of us and score a bunch of runs, but maybe that's just the optimist in me, but it's not been... I mean, this week, I mean, you put up 10 against the Orioles on Sunday, and then you score 19 the rest of the week. It's not a good look.
I had that thought aloud yesterday, just sort of like, yeah, if they go into Boston, knock Purcell around, take 2 of 3, then everything's fine. And, of course, that's the nature of a 162-game season. But what have you seen, Matt, and what have I seen that suggests that that's going to be the case? They can't score any damn runs.
No, and, you know, I thought looking on paper back in March and April that it wouldn't be this bad. Yes, I understand Edwin's gone. Yeah, I get it that Brantley's gone, Yan Gomes. But I figured Roberto Perez would be, you know, a replaceable player for Yan and maybe even better defensively. And I knew that dealing Gomes the way – I liked the trade from the beginning. And my brother Todd will tell you that. We brought it up on the Tribecast a couple of times. I liked Daniel Johnson and I liked Jeffrey Rodriguez. So I thought that was going to be fine. But losing Michael Brantley and replacing him with Jake Bowers and the Bowers for Yandy deal, that had nothing to do with ownership. And I know that's where the phone calls are with you and with everybody else, all the hosts at the station, is it always comes back to Dolan's cheap and everything else. But let's call it what it is. Yes, ownership decided to make that decision to cut payroll and be a little bit more fiscally responsible going into the season because they probably did lose money last year. And that's another argument for another day. But the fact of the matter is the 1-9 lineup is not very good. And while you can bitch and moan about ownership, Tito and everything else, when you're an all-star player who is one of the more dominant hitters for 3 straight years is so awful. I mean, what do you do?
Does that do anything for you?
Well, no, it does. No,
talking about Jose Ramirez, finally, obviously.
Finally, Tito sits Jose Ramirez today. Finally. I mean, you have to. How many more times are you going to trot him out, whether he's in the 3-hole, the 5-hole, whatever? I mean, some of these at-bats are putrid. I mean, three pitch strikeouts, strikeout at-bat. Here, a pop-out with a runner at second. You know, someone leads off, you know, Kipnis leads off with a double, which that's another story from another day. That's a miracle when that happens. And then here comes Jose to pop out to short. I mean, is it bats? He's jumpy in the box. You hear Tom, when Tom Hamilton talks about him, you hear almost the scorn in his voice. And this has been going on since last August. It's not like this is just this season. At the end of last year, he was in a deep slump. He was brutal in the series with the Astros. So when you have a guy that you count on to be an MVP candidate not showing up, that's like going to Ruth Chris and they have no steak. I mean, yeah, potatoes and salad isn't bad, but that's not why you're there. So that's a huge hole, huge hole. I don't know what they're going to do about it.
Matt Derry joins me at Derry Speaks on Twitter. You hear him here on 92.3 The Fan and one half of the Derry Brothers Indians podcast. You tweeted the other day, bizarre season so far. Now the Indians front office fast-tracking their kids to the big club. I'm not sure what's going on. Where was this earlier? How do you read into that? I mean, obviously we're going to see Plesac tomorrow. Mercado comes up. We're seeing Haas. People are already calling for Bradley. Is that something? I mean, I go back to the offseason, and again, the financial restrictions are another conversation for another day. We've had that talk. But I go back and I go, I wonder if they sort of choreographed this, or if the idea of when you make a trade for a Jake Bowers and you still have a roster that you think can contend for a title, and now we're seeing the kids come up, basically the reinforcements are coming from Columbus, Does it make you think maybe the front office has a different perspective of this season as opposed to, you know, the next couple of years? Are they already sort of jockeying to open up that next contention window?
I'm not sure how to answer your question, Jake, because I don't know. And I think that there is a divide, if I had to guess, between Francona and the front office a little bit. Not one that I think is going to make anything. I mean, Tito signed an extension. He's not going anywhere. But I think Tito said, I'm not going to be playing a bunch of kids. We're going to win the division. Get me some vets. And so if he said that back in February or January, whatever it was, then it's up to ownership to say, okay, while these veterans are starting to sign late, because that's been the way that the offseason has gone in baseball the last two winters, why not spend $3-4 million on Adam Jones? Why not spend $1-2 million on Derek Dietrich, who went to Ignatius? So that made no sense. So you bypass all these guys, then you go into the spring and go, oh, we're watching guys in the backfields, we're watching guys hitting live pitching. They're not good enough. We know we're screwed. I mean, wow. So at the start of spring training, they finally realize that Tyler Naquin's not that good, or that Jake Bowers might not be as good as Yandy Diaz, or that Greg Allen maybe had a nice September last year, but is probably more of a 4A, fourth or fifth outfielder type. So now they're panicking. Everybody's off the market, and they're signing Hanley Ramirez for $1 million, Cargo for $2 million. If that $3 million is what Dolan spent, then why wasn't it spent on Adam Jones a month earlier? A guy who now has 10 home runs, 30-some-odd RBIs out in Arizona. So those are, I don't know if those are ownership mistakes, front office mistakes. So now you're on this, we got to bring in veterans kick. You give Hanley a little while, you DFA him. You give Cargo a little while, you DFA him. Oh, so now you're going to bring up Mercado? Now we're going to see, like you said, Zach Plesac. Now Haas comes up for a second. Now Daniel Johnson, who should have started the year at Triple A, not Double A, is now being promoted to AAA, and he's coming. So I don't know what the philosophy is, because if it's vets, why didn't you sign other vets before the vets you signed, and now it's kids? And if that's the case, like you said, Bobby Bradley should be here already, because, you know, what's the point in trotting out some of these guys? But, again, it's only 2 months. Maybe Jake Bowers breaks out in June. He's getting an opportunity today. And it's been a very confusing I mean, Jake, the Brad Miller, Max Moroff thing. What the hell was that?
Oh, God. You remember Eric Stamets?
Right.
We had to do that. And granted, you know, as far as addressing the middle infield goes, you knew eventually you're going to get Frankie and Kippy back. But, I mean, if you are a team in an organization who has plans for a deep postseason run, you don't just say, yeah, this will work until we get healthy. And that's basically what we've been told going back to the winter. Again, you can't have a do-over. It is what it is. Here we are. How do you fix it, Matt? What's something that you could see happening? Are you anticipating a big move coming soon? Is this team going to be sellers at the deadline? I keep saying if you trade Trevor Bauer anytime soon, you might be able to get back somebody who helps you this year and also somebody else who helps you long term. But that's the best answer I have.
That's the next move.
Yeah.
If I'm guessing, I have no inside source, but if I'm guessing, they're bringing up Zach Plesac for a reason. They've kept Jeffrey Rodriguez up here for a reason. Trevor Bauer is going to be traded. And I don't know if it's going to be traded next week, a month from now, but this talk about Houston and the Astros, that would put them over the top. I mean, Houston and Minnesota and the Yankees are probably pretty elite in the AL. The second tier is probably Boston, Tampa, and maybe the Indians if they can get their act together. The Indians can go for a wild card spot and still maybe do it a different way. But if you add a Yordan Alvarez from the Astros, who's sitting in Round Rock at AAA hitting 20 home runs, and they're not calling him up. And they've had opportunities to call him up, and they've called up other guys over him. He's a guy that right now would be probably the three hitter on the Indians. He's that good. What about Franmil Reyes from the Padres, who my brother Todd has brought up a couple of times? The Indians have had conversations with San Diego going back to the offseason. He's got 15 home runs out in San Diego. The Padres, boy, could they use another starter to push the Dodgers and cement maybe a wild card spot. So I see, you know, you move Bauer in the next little while, then you don't have to deal with the arbitration stuff. He's, you know, you have to deal with his free agency. He's now out. You get a young, controllable guy like Reyes or Alvarez, and you slot those guys right in the lineup right away. It rejuvenates some of the other guys. And then you still have, if Kluber gets healthy, Kluber, Clevinger, Carrasco, Bieber, Rodriguez, Plesac, if he works out, there's six starters right there.
If that's the case, Matt, and we're talking to Matt Derry, one half of the Derry Brothers Tribecast, you could follow that at Derry Bros Tribe, DERYBROS Tribe, and on Twitter at Derry Speaks. If you do that, and if you start to signify, and look, I think trading Trevor and getting back somebody who helps you right away, maybe that's not punting on the season necessarily. But at some point, I think Terry Francona probably, you know, the question of whether or not he's the right fit for what you have. If you start going young and rebuilding, I'm sure he ain't going to be happy here. That's part of my question is will they deal with that sooner than later, do you think? And also, if you had to nitpick, because I stand for Tito Francona. I think over the especially with a veteran group, you don't do much better than Terry Francona. But I'm watching Kevin Cash in Tampa, and I'm watching them be forward-thinking, and I'm not talking about just shifts. I'm talking about openers. I'm talking about the way you approach a 162-game season and the way you approach constructing your roster. Could Tito stand to be a little bit more progressive?
Oh, absolutely. The bunting in the third and fourth innings of games, giving out free outs, is old dinosaur baseball, and Tito still plays it. And I don't quite understand why. I do know if you put a bunt down, the other team has to make a play, but free outs, to me, with this team, is not something that you should be doing.
Right.
As far as openers and stuff like that, I mean, I think the starting pitching is pretty good. I know they've had a rough patch lately, and Carrasco's all of a sudden throwing BP, and Trevor Bauer hasn't been great, but I think all in all, the starters have done all they can. I think they're looking up now going, man, every game I'm forced to have to make every big pitch at every big moment because I get no support. So all of a sudden now the starters had a rough couple weeks and it's 3-0, 4-0. We're losing and the Indians are losing. That's definitely been an issue. But yes, I let's say they're making dumb mistakes, which you know, guys stealing third with two outs is stupid. Missed cutoff man. Ramirez defensively has been an issue with third base.
Yeah,
Tito riding with him this long without giving him a day off, finally doing it today is late. It's late. So hopefully it turns it around and tomorrow he's good again. I don't know, but I think some of it goes on the manager. But again, you're right. When you replace Michael Brantley, who's a 320, 330 hitter with, you know, this cavalcade of guys that are all the same, like Naquin and Bowers and Greg Allen and Luplo, they're all the same. So how much is that on the manager? I'm with you. I still love him, and he's great. But as far as forward thinking of other things, I'm with you a little bit on that.
All right, he's Matt Derry. I feel a little bit better, but not much better.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I don't think a Bauer trade would be necessarily punting on the season.
Me neither.
I don't agree with that.
I don't think so either.
There's two wild cards. I don't love the wild card game, but in a one game scenario, to move on to the next round and get into the tournament, I have no issue with that, with this team. I still believe that starting pitching is still what wins. So if you get Clevinger healthy and Bieber and Carrasco, and if somehow Kluber gets healthy, and one of these kids, a Plesac or Rodriguez, is really good, that's a damn good rotation to have controlled for a while, under control for a while. The bullpen we haven't even talked about because it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
So this team doesn't suck. But sitting at 500 right now and the way they're playing and how they got the doors blown off at home this past week was not good. It wasn't – no excuses for it.
Real quick before you go, if you are going to pull the trigger on the Bauer move, do you wait until you get Clevinger back for a few starts just to see what he looks like, or are you just taking the best deal whenever you can get it?
I think you got to rejuvenate and reinvigorate this offense somehow.
I'm with you.
So, you know, if the deal has to go down now, hopefully – and it depends. I think they want to take a long look at tomorrow night and see if Plesac can look like he belongs. And I know that's not fair to the kid. I mean, he wasn't even a top 20 prospect on the Indians prospect list going into the season. He had Tommy John surgery like 2 years ago, but he's throwing the heck out of the ball, and they're hoping he's the next Shane Bieber that moves through the system fast. And then you can afford to make that trade. But I think Bauer's struggles too have maybe have hurt his value a little, but man, if Houston wants him or San Diego wants him, it may be time. And these people that say trade Lindor, you're out of your mind. You trade Lindor, there's going to be nobody in that stadium. Not that there's a lot of people, but you trade him, forget it. That'd be absolute lunacy to do that.
Yeah, but Matt, I'll say this. If the rest of the season goes the way that this has gone, then you got to look at it this winter. Because if you wait till next winter, you're punting on a lot of leverage there. Everybody knows he's not going to stay past 2021.
I'm always hopeful that somehow, some way, this ownership group would realize that if you allow that guy to walk out the door, that It'll be the days of the old stadium again. You got to find a way to keep him. He's that special.
Yeah, but you're hopeful. How hopeful are? I mean,
right? I know. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, Jake.
Yes, yes. Of course, they're going to fork over $330 million. That's very Dolan's.
maybe it's time. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, that's all we can
hopeful.
Do. Is hope.
I know, bro.
It's not even spring anymore, and hope springs eternal. There he is, Matt Derry. He's at Derry Speaks on Twitter, one half of the Derry Brothers Tribecast. Appreciate it, Matt. Thanks, man.
All right, Jake. See you.
All right, there he is, Matt Derry on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.